Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll see you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce. I am your host, Tim Lanning, and joining me, as always, is Jennifer Cheek. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, everyone.
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, you know, just, I was just watching a hail outside. It was very scary, which was very on theme for some stuff that's going to come up in these chapters. So that was fun.
Very true, very true. I mean, being from Florida, I see hail, I go, ooh.
Yeah.
I stand outside, I put my hand,
gonna
get hit. It's going to always be interesting.
Oh, is that because you had not experienced hail or because you're used to hail is what you're saying? Because
I haven't experienced it.
You haven't experienced
it? Not much.
But it thunderstorms so much in Florida.
But it's hot.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah. No,
I mean,
hail
it happens.
But. Right. I feel like hail is still pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And St. Louis has got some crazy weather, you guys.
Yeah, we have about 100 text messages being like, get in the basement, there's tornadoes everywhere, and it's like, eh. What's going
on? I didn't get these text messages.
You don't care for our safety.
I do care why they didn't come to me.
We are covering Nikolai, the third book, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Chapters 14 and 15.
We're so close to the end of this book,
we are
guys.
So close to the end of this book. I feel like they just called their shot of how it's going to end.
Yep, they sure did. Yep, there's basically one more episode of this book because there's two chapters and an epilogue. Or maybe even just one, I forget. Maybe we'll do two depending on how long the epilogue is.
We'll see
is.
How it is.
But there's not much left. We're you know.
Yeah.
Speeding towards the end.
And things are heating up, you know. I mean, this is a take a breather moment as heroes get home, but
yeah, it's not as exciting as the border crossing stuff from the last chapter,
right?
But it had more things that made me shriek as I was reading.
Oh my god, it's insane.
There was a conversation about abortion that made me feel so insane that I'm like, I need a beer to talk about this. I got myself out a chunky 7% IPA to talk through this because, oh my God, I wanted to kill Rayford. I wanted to kill him, even though he's not a real person.
He's a Christian.
I hate his ass.
Okay.
He's pissing me off.
Well, we used to like Rayford, but let's see in chapter 14.
So we catch up immediately with Buck again, but they have made it into American airspace at this point, which is good. Because, like, for real, though, like, I'm actually kind of surprised that Israel didn't send, like, a fucking jet after them or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, they made a joke about it, about, like, oh, they have bigger things to worry about in World War III, but it's like...
Well, this guy's kind of like
how do you know this isn't a World War III based... Whoopsie, you know what I'm saying?
It's right. Like,
but hey, they didn't get shot out of the sky, so.
It's fine.
Praise the Lord, I guess, every day.
I did, once again, proving that Ken Ritz is the number one guy in the series. Buck was being all like, thanks for getting us out of there all illegally and stuff, being cool. And he's like, I like a compliment as much as the next guy, but I hope you know you owe me battle pay on top of everything else, which made me laugh.
I like that. And Buck's like, hell yeah, brother.
Like you do. I mean, Buck is just throwing cash around. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, he knows that he eventually the jig will be up and he...
Maybe soon.
Maybe soon.
Which they kind of talk about later as well.
Yeah.
So that's funny. So they get back to Chicago, and Buck and Zion head to Loretta's house where they find out that Verna Z has already left because she's basically like, you're going to seem crazy. I got to leave this house.
And there's such a funny, like... The fate of our heroes are resting on the shoulders of this bitch.
Like, literally. And then they have this conversation that's so crazy because, you know, it comes up and then, like, later Chloe is talking to Buck about Verna, like, more in depth. Mm-hmm. Chloe literally says, She admitted she was intimidated by you and jealous of you. You were what she had always hoped to be. And she even confessed that she knew she was no journalist compared to you. Like,
right.
This is someone writing, like, this is what my enemies are actually thinking about
me. This is a self-insert fan fiction.
100%.
As hell. But, I mean, my haters say this about me all the time.
I was going to say, it sounds like things that, like, your mom would say if someone was, like, mean to you at school. Yeah, like, they're just jealous of you.
I mean,
sometimes they're not, though. Sometimes they're just mean. Sometimes they're just mean, and sometimes they think you suck, so.
Right, and I think going through this chunk of, like, Verna being like, yeah, man, you know how it is. I was intimidated. Buck didn't say anything about how he ever did anything wrong. And I got to give it up to him. Just be like, yeah.
Yeah, I did everything perfectly. It's not my fault. She's a crazy bitch.
It's not my fault I fucking rule. Which, hey, Buck, me and you both, buddy. I know how it is.
No flaws. Now, Tim, can Smooth. You wake up without your alarm?
I can't sleep. Way ahead of you.
That's true. You never go to sleep in the first place. So in addition to that, though, another interesting thing that Verna says is that she admits to Chloe that, like, even though she admires Carpathia, she's like, I don't like how he's controlling and manipulating the media.
Yeah, there's times.
So it's like there's little cracks in, you know, the facade of people being like, he's the best.
Right. And sometimes I'm just like, how do they justify all this shit? Like, sure. We hear them do it in big moments, and we even said the way they justify Zion killing his family made sense. But it's like, I mean, come on, man. You are going through quite a unique time in the planet. Of course there's going to be haters out there. That,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess they all probably joined the militia, but still, it's good to see a normie being like, I don't trust this guy.
But I think it's also, like, saying about, like, how, you know, how can the journalists allow this to happen? It's like, brother. A lot of people who are journalists, quote unquote, also just will, like, straight up publish, like, press releases from places. So it's like, how different is that than, you know, getting your story from the potentate, the global potentate?
All news can be controlled by a right-winger, like, news organization, corporation. Yes. It can't be controlled by a government?
Or a guy. That's where it crosses the line.
Yeah.
When the billionaires tell them to print things, that's fine.
That's good.
And that's journalism.
And I do want to say, this is why they want to get rid of TikTok. This is why they're trying to silence us.
Yeah, I will say, we are in the middle of the U.S. government trying to ban TikTok right now, which is really tough for me as a person who hates TikTok but knows that they're not valid for doing what they're doing. It's like, personally, you know what, though? I want TikTok to exist because I want all those people to stay on TikTok.
Sure.
I don't want them to come to Twitter with their own lives and such. I don't need these baby words.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's it's
sorry, I just had to go hater mode for a second.
It's embarrassing. But hey, what are you gonna do? It's warped everyone's brains.
Yeah,
maybe it should be illegal. I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like there's not.
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't. But like all social media is like bad.
Yeah.
But like not for the reasons they're trying to ban it.
Yeah.
Like they're banning it for bad reasons. And like I don't even want to go here because I'm like, are they really gonna end up banning it? It could happen. Who fucking knows, man?
It might.
It's just so funny to be reading Left Behind when we are also in like such weird times.
Yeah.
Like you ever just feel that as like damn, like we're kind of also in a like apocalypse scenario in many ways, in that everything is failing like around
us. Yeah, and I think I've talked about this before. Like when people ask, like, do you think we are in some sort of like pre-apocalypse zone? I was like, yeah, it's just really boring.
Yeah, and it's like a slow one,
and it's going to take a long time to happen, right? Like even the things that we are bemoaning, if you will, they started a rolling, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, shit like that. So it's like, you see so much stuff right now that is coming to a head, and, you know, anyone typically responds with, well, yeah, that's what everyone thinks. Yeah, but motherfucker, they didn't have computers, and they didn't have this, they didn't have that, like, all clashing together.
Yes.
In such an insane way of, like, yo, shit is extremely unique right now.
Yes.
And there's no real other way to dice it up, unfortunately. But, hey, you know, we got 6 more months to do something about climate change, and then we'll fix it.
So yeah, for sure. So, they continue to talk shit about Verna, going back to Chloe and Buck. Chloe mentioned that, like, in return for not ratting out Buck, that Verna wanted to trade favors? Like, she really just, like, say that? That's crazy. I mean, I don't know what I would do.
You want me to keep your goofy ass secret? Then make it worth my while.
Yeah,
bitch.
No, that's probably like actually the logical way to do it. But like, it's just like
you don't know your company anything. Blackmail them 24/7.
That's true. No, you know what? Actually, Verna, keep doing your thing, girl.
Yeah,
get as much money from stupid ass Buck as he's got an unlimited credit card right now.
Exactly. Like, I don't know why Buck wouldn't just be like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, like, what is that hurting? Does it matter? You're spinning out propaganda anyway. Just fucking, like, promote her.
My journalistic integrity, bitch. You're writing press releases for the Antichrist.
Shut the fuck up, Buck. Buck, shut the fuck up. We're, like, fine to say, like, I'm going to kill Buck, like, right?
He's not real.
He's not real, so it's fine. Okay.
Oh, we're going to unalive Buck.
I need to get these feelings out, like, somewhere, so it's for the best that it's for fake people.
Yeah, Buck is our whipping boy, so to speak. You know how, like, kings had, like, their friends that would get the shit beat out of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Other fellow 8-year-olds. This is our Buck, right?
Like, yeah.
We have to get the goo out of us, you know, so that it doesn't run out of our eyes and look all,
like,
spooky.
It's like, you know, like the black goo that the Baron Harkonnen goes into. That's like what's inside of me.
And
it needs to be purged because I'll become too evil if it gets, if it gets too full inside of me.
Yeah.
It'll spill out.
The book I'm reading, the Cradle series, shout out, when they advance their body to a certain purity, it's like, all right, goodbye all impurities, and it just like oozes out of their skin, and apparently it's quite painful for obvious reasons. And the main character, he had so much goo coming out.
He's nasty boy. So in addition to mentioning that Verna wants to trade favors, like, I guess Verna had talked to Chloe about how, like, I didn't really, like, grow up familiar with church. And this conversation was also very, like, annoying to me. Because she says, Verna says the idea of attending church was never discussed in her home. And Buck's like, she was never curious, never searched for any deeper meaning in life. Shut the fuck up, Buck. And then Chloe's like, no, in fact, she admitted she's been a pretty cynical and miserable person for years. She thought it made her the perfect journalist. And then Buck says she always gave me the willies. Bro, what?
You were
not a Christian either back then.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so fucking annoying.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to kill you. I wish you fell down the fucking steeple of the church and died.
I mean, I want Zion to get back, but now you can go.
But Zion's already back at this point. He's fine now.
Sorry, Buck. You no longer have the protection of the Lord on you.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Insane. They did not need a third paragraph.
No.
This about, like, insane shit.
It's like when they need. Do they ever go this hard on any guy other than the literal Antichrist?
No, and they don't even go that hard on the Antichrist. No. They say how cool he is.
That's true. But it's like if there's a woman that kind of sucks, they're like, I need to wax poetic about how much they suck so you really understand.
Yeah. And part of it is that there's only two main characters, Ray and Buck, right? So, like, we get a lot of, like, self-reflection for Ray and Buck. So any quote-unquote negative stuff is straight to, you know, them. And they are like, oh, how foolish was I. And now I do grow and yada, yada, yada. But hopefully we do get Chloe as I don't know why. I thought she was already a character by now.
I thought she was. I was like to get a viewpoint from her.
Fuck.
I'm tired of these dudes.
Yeah, get these dicks out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah, leave my body alone.
For real. Oh, speaking of, okay, we're actually not quite going there yet, but Rayford, we cut to this, like, kind of quick section where Rayford is waiting for Hattie because they're going to fly home to, Hattie's going to Denver or wherever her family is, but she's going to ride with Rayford at least till Chicago, and as Rayford's just, like, sitting there waiting for Hattie, he has this whole, like, mind palace moment where he's just thinking back on meeting Amanda.
Yeah, he's like, I'm in a book, so I'm going to do a little bit of recap, but, you know, offer more insights and be thankful about it.
Yeah, and then in this part, he also kind of talks shit about his own wife, and he's like, I thought she was annoying at first and a jabber.
Exactly.
Like, what, bitch?
Shut up.
And he calls her handsome, which I think is very funny.
Whenever
it feels like an underhanded compliment, like a backhanded compliment.
If a female, Jennifer, let me explain it to you. If a female is past her prime of 25, then you say they're handsome.
I bet she got a short haircut.
Oh, she got short gray hair. Absolutely.
I'm definitely kind of picturing.
I think it is past the ears of my.
It's like face. A weird bob.
Weird
old lady bob. Like, well, a middle-aged lady bob.
I mean, she's also a business bitch, so it could be swooped back a little bit. But she's also stylish, right?
Because I was kind of thinking, oh my god, what is her fucking name? She, the original horror movie girl.
Sigourney Weaver.
No.
Janet.
No, what's her name?
She's fun.
She's in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Janet.
Fuck.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes. Oh my God. I was kind of picturing a Jamie Lee Curtis cut at first in my head, but sure. I feel like, just cause it's like, again, like calling a woman handsome. Like you can. I liked it when it, like in old timey books, I would say someone was handsome and that feels like more okay, but I feel like now I'm like, this feels like a microaggression.
I mean,
I call someone handsome. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would love Shakira.
Coming from the people who wrote this book.
Sure.
Like, I don't think it's automatically.
Well, I think it's cause they're not going to call any woman over 40 attractive.
That's true.
Like,
well, you're all dried up now. Yeah. Like, who cares about you?
Because I think if they did, it'd be like, what? Is she a tart of some sort?
She a slut?
she's hoed out for the Lord? No thanks.
Ugh.
So, hey, I mean, I personally like when they describe someone as handsome, but you're not wrong.
It automatically means the person is cooler, but I just feel like they're not saying it with love in their heart. That's it's all. Like, I doubt
they're not
it.
Traditionally attractive, but they're not ugly.
Right.
Like,
I think calling someone handsome is a compliment.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear. It's just that I don't trust Jerry Jenkins.
Kristen Stewart is often handsome,
yes.
But she's also often beautiful.
That's so true.
And
men can be beautiful as well.
That's so true. Robin like Pattinson.
The Timothy Chalamet.
Can
you look at him?
That
he's a little guy. Come on.
Yeah.
While Rayford, he's on his little mind journey while he waits for Hattie, he's thinking about Amanda, and then he starts getting stressed again because he's like, man, how are we gonna fucking make it through this tribulation? This sucks. And then we get a little drop of a thing I've been waiting for them to reference. Tim, can you read this, please?
Okay. Someday, according to Bruce's teachings, to merely have the right to buy and sell, citizens of the global community would have to take the mark of the beast.
Ooh, mark of the beast, mentioned.
No one knew yet exactly what form it would take, but the Bible indicated it would be a mark on the forehead or on the hand or a COVID-19 vaccine.
Oh, COVID-19, they're putting a chip inside you, is the mark of the beast.
Yeah, now whenever I go to the grocery store, metal cans fall on me because I'm all magnetic now.
Okay, can I say something really quick, though?
Okay.
I did have a moment earlier this week that was making me kind of feel insane in that everything electrical around me was getting fucked up. Like, my phone wouldn't charge correctly. And this is, Tim, my Quip toothbrush keeps dying. Like, not working correctly. And I don't know, like, what is it? And then my computer was being weird. I'm like, am I, like,
you know what I think it is.
What?
You don't take good care of things.
You're not correct, though. It's the, what do I do? I just use a toothbrush. Like, how do I take care of it?
Oh.
I don't do anything weird to it.
I mean, you're much better than you used to be. So, like, my brain hasn't caught up. But that's where I'm at.
That's unfair.
That's my truth.
This is just, like, how my mom won't let it go that I lost a leather jacket when I was in high school.
And why I bring it up to you a lot as well.
I'm just saying, I did feel a little bit like maybe I'm causing electrical disturbances in the world around me.
So it's
I like doing it. That's not going to cause the electrical part inside to stop working.
Say, yeah, you're right. I don't know why.
I will never stop. It feels good and it cleans my teeth. Anyway. So now I cut back over to Buck. Since he's jet lagged, he, like, leaves Chloe in her bed. Like, he stays with Chloe until she falls asleep. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm gonna go crawl around the church by myself the nighttime.
I am so praising the damn Lord that they're all hurt as hell, so we don't have to have, like, and then they fucking touched.
Ooh, I don't want to. I was thinking about that. Like, when are they fucking?
Right, because they
Because they're, like, pretty newlyweds still.
Yeah.
Like, ish.
Like, they said it was only been a couple months. But,
she was freaking talking to him at some point about having a fucking baby with him.
Yeah, she's like, I want to have a baby with
That's
you, maybe.
So stupid.
Yeah, and they do say, I know it's dumb, but we'll see what scripture says.
But then again, it's kind of like, well, if you don't do it now, you're not going to ever have
what
a baby.
I would, right. So
it's like, you can't be fucking in heaven. That's for boring stuff.
And that's what gets, exactly, it's for boring stuff.
It's only, all you can do in heaven is sing to God and, like, read the Bible more.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they should have, like, 1,000 kids and then have abortion via Antichrist.
Exactly. Then they'll have a whole little family over there.
A whole army for the Lord up there.
Because I feel like, and maybe this has come up before, but I feel like if a baby dies, like, I feel like the understanding is that they would become some sort of adult version of themselves in heaven.
Yeah.
Like, some true version of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, you're not stuck being a baby forever, like when a vampire turns a child.
Right.
And you're just, like, a child forever.
Right. The Lord knows the future. So it's like, all right, you get kind of annoying, so we'll give you a couple more years, then boom. So this person's a perfect 17-year-old, this person's 14, this person's 80.
Whatever your, like, ideal, I don't know. Like, I feel like everyone just becomes vaguely 25 in heaven. That's always how I thought about it anyway.
Yeah, I think that's was sort of described it that way to me. Even there's no proof of anything like that.
So, as you're saying, logically, they should just get pregnant, like, a lot and then have a huge family. It'd be more, maybe heaven would be more fun that way.
Yeah, and then, like, don't have a real abortion, but, like, you know, get into some scrapes and scraps, you know? Like, oopsie, I fall down.
Go have some more wrecks in that Land Rover.
Uh-oh, new heaven, child.
Oopsie, maybe go climb.
I don't get it.
Climb up the steeple in the church and fall down and hit some different things on the way down, which is what Buck's about to do, because Buck is going to check in on the bunker.
The sick-ass bunker.
The church, which we knew they were building it.
Yeah, we were in it briefly.
Very, very briefly, but I wasn't, like, tricked out that.
It had not
undergone renovations.
Right. And it was so
it was just like a room.
Brief that when Buck was going in it right now, I'm like, has he been here before? I thought he was. What the fuck? But it's that different, right?
Yeah.
Of a situation for him.
And it seems like the answer is no, he had not been in here. Although, well.
This is where they got married slash.
But, well, I mean, he hasn't seen it since it got renovated. And they do a whole thing of like, okay, you gotta go down to the basement, and then there's a sign that's like, danger, high voltage, authorized personnel only, and Buck's like, I know what this is.
I know, I've seen this before.
The different precautions that Bruce took in creating this, Buck does a weird, like, push, like, pattern thing with the doorknob to open it, which is crazy.
There's like a super door that it's like, you can't turn it left or right or whatever, and then you have to just like go, left a little bit, right a little bit, push in, left,
it felt
left,
like a video
right,
game
right,
thing.
Up, down, left,
yeah, extremely that.
And I was like, where do you buy doors like this? That's so cool. And the idea that, like, Bruce has put it in
the
himself.
The spy store.
Yeah. Or he, like Pharaoh's did, like, okay, you got done, finished my bunker, and then he just, like, fucking shot him. And, like,
right.
Can't have you knowing where it is. Dan, you get to go to heaven. I know I get to go to heaven when I die. Exactly. Bang, bang, bang. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good riddance, you filthy animal.
But on the other hand, I do bet prepper people have some shit like this.
Yeah, because even after, like, there's, like, a fake fucking wall.
There's a fake wall with
how,
more,
like,
signage on it that's like, you
that's
will be electrocuted
starts.
And die.
And if I, like, found a fake wall that opened up to, like, yo, this is highly electric, I'm like, this is fake. I just found a fake wall. But regardless, once you get open the video game door, it's just a circuit breaker. Giant circuit breaker. And then you open that.
But
and
it's
that's
a fake
door.
It's a fake one. It's a fake circuit breaker.
Yeah. And I was like, that's sick. Okay.
I mean, like, no, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, Bruce, you did a good job.
Yeah.
And cause, like, shit's really about to go down as we're gonna get into.
Yeah.
So this is a 24x24 bunker and it's divided up into three rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's the bedroom area, there's like a bathroom, and then like a kitchen and like living room situation.
Yeah.
No,
and like there's bunk beds and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's four double bunk beds. Now, Tim, is not a bunk bed a double bed inherently? A bunk bed is what do I mean by double bunk bed?
Yeah, I went through this a few times and I was like,
how many people can this sleep?
I thought there, in order to not have, pass out, is there are simply eight beds.
It probably makes sense that it's eight. But maybe it means like they're not twins, they're like, a full or something?
No fucking idea.
I don't know.
Double bunk beds.
Four double bunk beds.
If you don't say double bunk beds, it just means the beds are right on top of each other. Yeah. Well, the first person squeezes in.
There are four people. Yeah.
And, like a worm, and the other person goes on top of it.
I have to bring up really quickly now that in a D&D campaign we did with friends, myself, who was a Barb, what was she?
Fighter? Barbarian?
Barbarian. Well, no, but like the race that she was.
Oh, Warforged.
Warforged. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. She was Warforged, which was big, and then our other friend was a character that was big, and we had king-size bunk beds, which I thought was very funny, because, like, I guess that exists, but the concept of a king-size bunk bed is hilarious. So I kind of wish they had that in there. That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah.
But I guess they don't have room for it.
I just Googled how to find square footage because I was baffled by how small this was. Because the total square feet, if you're ready, I mean, people at home know what it is 576 square
feet. That's like little.
That's baby.
That's like a micro studio.
Yeah.
It's small. I mean, they say that. They're like, yeah, this would not be chill for more than, like, maybe two people to be in for any period of time.
Yeah.
And it's super underground. Mm-hmm. There's no light. Like, it will work. It's serviceable. Like, there's a fridge and a
oven. It's nice. It's
nice in there, but you are in a bunker underground.
Yeah.
A small bunker.
Yeah, I like that Buck pointed out that, like, the claustrophobia would kick in, and then on top of that, you're like, we're pretty far underground. I don't like it.
See, now that I don't understand. It's like,
cause you're not,
you can't feel it.
Oh my God.
Like, I get, but if they had said like, you can't see light outside, I'd be like, that's valid. But like, just knowing you're underground versus being like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Sure.
I was like, sure, dear.
Sure, dear.
To me, that wouldn't bother me.
It's hard for me to have to try to break down how the human body and mind works for neurotypical people.
Like, it doesn't matter. It's not like there's more pressure down there. It's just, the light would be the issue, not the fact that you're super underground. I feel like if anything, I'd feel safer very underground.
See, that makes so much sense.
In a small, enclosed, dark space. That sounds good to me, actually. I think I'd like that.
Not if there's earthquakes.
Man, I hope they designed this bunker for earthquakes, because, oh man, Zion Ben Judah is going to get fucking crushed in there. Idea. That would suck. So Buck does a thing he checks out the 24x24 bunker, and then he sees, like, the broadcast connection, like, wire, and he's like, all right, let me go see where this goes. And he follows it up to the top of the church's old steeple, which he mentioned was the only, like, original part of the church, which is, I thought it was kind of cool. The old bell in there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck climbs up in there and finds a tiny, tiny satellite dish, like a 2-inch wide satellite dish.
Oh, in my book, it was an iPad. Just kidding. It was something.
Okay. I was really like, oh my God.
It was an iPad.
It was an iPod.
It was a Nano.
So it also in this part, Buck is attacked by a spider and, like, almost falls, and I thought that was really funny.
That was funny, and he's like, yeah, I just went through all this bullshit to get Zion out, but I'd rather do all that again than have a spider crawl through my hair.
That did endear him to me a little bit more again, but I was mostly overwhelmed with how funny it would have been if he had just fallen and died.
Yeah.
And everyone would be like, where's Buck? They start just smell a stink in the church. Like, damn, he fucking died. That would have been hilarious.
It could happen.
But instead, Buck is thinking about how, with a little technology, the Tribulation Force and its newest member, Zion Ben Judah, would soon be proclaiming the gospel from a hidden location and sending it via satellite and the internet to just about anybody in the world who wanted to hear it, and to many who didn't.
Love it. I like that little line.
I didn't tell, that was funny.
Yeah.
I gotta give him that.
Cut those rascals out!
Oh, you're hearing the shit about Jesus! So now we're back over to Rayford, who is on the plane with Hattie. And it does,
okay, here we go.
And it does a thing where they're like near the end of the flight, and Rayford like looks over at her. And it's like, yeah, Hattie's been weeping for most of the flight, and her mascara's all down her face. She's super sad. She'd been just like, you know, pouring her heart out to Rayford. Like, I don't want to stay with Nikolai anymore. I don't love him. I'm pregnant. She's really sad.
Yeah. It's like, how did I get in this situation? Well, maybe because I, had this horrible conversation with a pregnant woman, about how she's a bad person if she gets an abortion.
Yeah.
So, and using, like, haha, gotcha logic of, like,
oh, he used all the gotcha logic and I want to reiterate, like, my church had a connection with a local crisis pregnancy center. So I heard this shit a lot. That was like a big thing at my church, like anti-abortion, like trying to get girls to not do abortions and either, you know, keep the baby or giving up for adoption or whatever. Crisis pregnancy centers are super scummy. They lie to people that come to them. And all this shit that Rayford says to her are arguments that I've heard from these people before.
Yeah.
So number one, like, Rayford starts getting pissy because she just keeps referring to the situation as her pregnancy and not her baby or child. And he's like, I wish she'd refer to it as a child and not a pregnancy. And then he starts to grill her because she uses the term, like, terminating the pregnancy. And he's like, why don't you see what you mean and say, have an abortion?
It's like...
Like, that's the same, stupid.
Yeah, it's like...
We know, you know, he's trying to be like, you're trying to use a euphemism for it so you don't feel bad.
Yeah, it's like, if you didn't feel bad, you wouldn't use euphemisms. Like, I don't think it works that way. I think
is just like the words that we use, like in the way that you say someone passed away.
Yeah, maybe it's because there's a whole bunch of judgmental assholes about it.
Yeah,
so you say terminate pregnancy without having to say I'm getting a huge abortion.
Yeah, like people who are judgmental and love to picket in front of Planned Parenthoods and, like, you know, bomb clinics and shit.
Mm-hmm. who are ugly and are bad.
Yeah. At one point, in response to Rafer grilling her, Hattie's like, I hope you don't think that I think abortion is an easy decision, even though it's the best and simplest solution. And Rafer's like, best and simplest for who? And then she's like, for me, I know. I'm like, yeah. And then Rafer's like, well, I've got to remind myself, she's not a believer, so she only cares about herself.
Right. It's like, why wouldn't she just, because again, we've said this a million times on the show, the throughput idea is that Christians think that if you're not a Christian, you have no reason to be a good person.
Yeah, that you're just, like, inherently immoral.
You're inherently immoral. You're selfish. You have nothing to tether you down from cracking open a delicious baby and sucking out all the baby juice out of the baby, right? Like, they think that.
Like, literally, they're like, well, if you don't believe in God, why don't you just commit murder? I'm like, what?
And it's like, well, you know I don't believe in God, and you know I don't murder. Are you asking me to murder? Because motherfucker, keep talking, you'll get it.
It's more like, are you telling me that the only reason you're not murdering is that you think God's going to punish you for it? Because that's very scary to think about, and I don't. That disturbs me.
It's pretty dark, I would say, right? It's fucking sucks to exist with these fucking ghouls.
And I would say, like, reading this, I guess I got a little, you know, a little extra worked up given that literally abortion's not legal in the state that I live in right now. Like, it's, you know, Roe v. Wade was struck down. It just is like, which is also just depressing in its own way, too. It's like, wow, this was written in a time when abortion was legal.
Yeah.
And now it's not. We have regressed from left behind.
And, you know, it's crazy, right? Because it's like thinking about it in some ways, you know, part of the reason why we wanted to do the show is because, like, there's a lot of things within these books that were part of the tide of all these fundamental assholes. So, yeah, it is insane thinking about, like, the argument for which they're writing is they know it's a more hostile environment. Now I bet that if this part was written today,
oh my God,
Rayford would have, because not all of it, Rayford feels guilty because he thinks he went too far. Like, he's like, I know that I'm going to say something fucked up, but hey, she doesn't believe what I believe, but I have to protect this baby.
He can't stop himself.
Right. So, but he at least has guilt about it and knows that he made a mistake. You know, he made a good mistake, I guess you'd say. Nowadays, I don't think they fucking would have put that in there.
No, you're probably right. Like, it's just like, no, I am correct. And I'm gonna break down this woman with logic.
The only reason
Christian logic.
He would be sad is because, like, yet another lost lamb, a woman Jezebeling herself out there to the beast and shit of that nature. Like, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, there are a few phrases throughout this section. I mean, it's abhorrent, right? But there's a few phrases throughout this that I'm just like, it's so weird that you're hedging just a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Because it's like, you're right. I think that now things are so, like, aggressive that they wouldn't even hedge.
Because, like, Rafe, at the end of this, like, he just stops talking to her because he knows he fucked up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think he knows he didn't do a good job. That newborn, beautiful baby with blue eyes is going to die because of him. And, you know, he feels guilt about that as opposed to pushing all that guilt onto Hattie. And, you know, in some way, the vibe of, like, well, she's not a Christian. She would love to crack open a damn baby. And the fact that they put the line in of where Hattie was like, well, you know, this isn't easy for me either.
Right.
AKA meaning it's not an easy decision.
Right.
And, you know, I think they line out pretty simplistic but correct reasons why you would get an abortion.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's straightforward, right? Of like, they don't, they say it's like, oh, it's a huge pain in the ass to be pregnant and to go through the birthing process, but they don't say like, and then plus they and me could die.
That, yeah, they don't even get into that.
Yeah, that doesn't, come up, right? So, cause that's like, that is a pretty big argument of like, not even from like, we're not even talking about like, abortions for people that are like, okay, if you don't get this damn baby out, you're toast, my friend.
Right, right.
This is like before that. This is like day one, right? When you learn that you're pregnant.
Right, early, earlier ones.
Yeah, but then, you know, Rayford, he goes, he does the talking points. And
man,
I was like, it's so stupid. I was like a little disappointed they went this hard after hedging a couple times, which is dumb on my part.
This is where like my eyes started to like go black and I started to get extremely angry. Like, so yeah, so Rayford really starts to dig in. And Tim, can you read this little
chunk? As a man,
chunk?
I think I should.
Yeah, I think you have to read this.
I'll even buy the argument that perhaps you regret the idea of having a child at all and would not be the best mother for it. I don't think you can shirk responsibility for it the way you... Okay.
Yeah, this word made me scream!
Okay. I don't think you can shirk responsibility for it the way a rape or incest victim might be justified in doing. Okay, whatever. But even in those cases, the solution isn't to kill the innocent party, is it?
He really thought he fucking did something here. Like, you're really gonna punish the one innocent person here?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
But like basically the, also being like, I don't think you can shirk response, saying that the people who had been raped or victims of incest were shirking responsibility.
Yeah.
This is when I was like, I would like to snap your head off, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, again, this is not the same thing, but this is a drip drop of hedging of like, yeah, you know, if you were raped or it was incest, then we could have a different conversation. But since that's not even the case, hey, I don't even have to – I was going to justify it still the same. It would be real fucked up. But now I don't have to do that. So.
Because, like, frankly, like, I feel like the sense at my church was that, no, there should not be exceptions
for
rape
absolutely.
Or incest.
Yeah, no, I mean
– which is, like, when you start to take those people, it's like, so then this is what's going to happen, like, based on this. And it's just – they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A 10-year-old girl could have a baby. That would just, that's what's gotta happen.
Yep.
Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. So, Hetty responds to this by literally holding her hands over her ears and just like weeping, tears streaming down her face.
Yeah.
And then Raver is like, if you don't stand up for your own child, somebody has to. Again, execution.
Mm-hmm.
Throw Rayford out of the airlock. I would like for him to be sucked into space.
Yeah, this next part he thought he did something with, and it's just fucking
shotgun. Please read this one. I've literally heard this argument before also.
Yeah. I have it, which I thought was funny. Well, yeah, I probably have. But he also knew she could reject it out of hand simply because he was a man. How could he understand? Oh, they know what they're saying. Good for them.
Yep.
No one was suggesting what he could or could not do with his own body. He had wanted to tell her he understood that. But again, what if the unborn child was a female? Who was standing up for the rights of that woman's body.
Yeah, that was so, like, you really thought you did something.
You really thought you did something.
You, like, checkmate, atheist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, literally. Because I used to be like, it, guys, I used to be in the fucking trenches on Facebook back in the day, arguing with people who legitimately, like, thought, like, this about stuff. I guess less specifically about abortion at the time. It was more about gay marriage was more the issue when I was in my peak posting times, but similar.
I don't think people would even want to like hear any argument about abortion because that's like there's no wiggle room on that for them.
Yeah, there's not. There's nothing
because you can't like. It's such a traumatic experience. That's like it's an unchill thing, right? It's stressful.
Right. It's inherently stressful because of the world we live in.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be. For some people, it is. But for some people, like, if we lived in a less shitty world, it would just be like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. Oop. Like, I'm going to go get a procedure done and it's done.
And not the same way as like, oh, you see the love of two men kissing hard.
Right.
Things of that nature. I mean, obviously, if you had a little more, I don't know, forethought or retrospection, if you saw someone that did have an abortion – and how happy they were now that they didn't have to take care of an unwanted child, then you would put three and three together. Yeah. And, you know, I think this is it, like, this argument would never work for them because, like, killing a kid's bad, right? And I kind of agree with that, right?
Right.
But it's like, hey, unwanted kids have a poor time in life. So we shouldn't want unwanted kids, but you're never going to convince them of that.
They're like, that's better.
Right.
It's better to have them here unwanted.
And I don't think that, like, you know, they would just take it as like, oh, so if you had a baby, like an actual swaddled baby, and you're like, oh, these vibes are bad, you just throw them in a damn river. I'm like, no, we don't mean that, right? Like,
my granted, people used to do that back in ancient times. They'd just be like, this baby looks bad. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the thing, like, if you look in, like, you know, ancient ruins, and it's like the sewers, and it's like, there's a lot of baby skeletons down here. A lot of little skeletons down here.
Yeah, I guess there was just, like, I thought they had abortion abilities back then.
They did, but, like, Brian didn't catch it really all the time. So, I guess when I mean baby,
when I say baby skeletons, that
very much happened too.
Yeah.
Like, when the baby was born full term, if for whatever reason it was like, nah. Like,
I think a friend of ours was at a dig by like an old like whorehouse or something.
Yes. So there's that, but I'm sure there's like even smaller skeletons. Like, who even knows? All I have to say, people have been dealing with this for a long time, and there were ways to do abortions with herbs, and there were lots of different contraceptives back in the day. People have been trying to not be pregnant forever.
Yeah.
So that was a fun thing that I did learn about.
Yeah, and it's probably like a money thing too, right? Like, I know that like.
Like, I have 17 children. I simply cannot have an 18th mouth to feed.
And then if you were, like, of a higher social standing, you could get better teas and things of that nature. But I don't know. I mean, I've looked into it very briefly because I was kind of baffled that even from my, you know, trying to unlearn bad things and thinking that I did enough, it was like, oh, I had no idea that we literally, like, abortion, like, has existed for a long time.
Yes, absolutely.
Different ways to,
pardon
the bluntness, like, flush it out.
Right? I mean, abortion plus infanticide, like, have existed for a very long time. Not to equate them, they're not the same, but, like, different, you know, reactions to things on different
right, time because
scales.
They were like, yeah, it's weird, right? And I understand, like, the argument and why it must feel so foreign to a Christian. Because, like, even to me, I'm like, if the baby's born and alive, you kind of can't bash it. But I'm like, that's what they must have done tons of times. Because they're like, I didn't want this kid. I don't have access to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's way too long. So instead, what we're going to do is goodbye.
Yeah.
I think that there's a little bit of, just like how Jennifer doesn't understand why it's scary to be underground sometimes. you know, I think there is something coded within us that's like, you got to protect that thing.
Right. Like your lizard brain is just like, I must protect the youth. You know,
which is why, again,
the youngling.
We just should be very, very pro, get it as early as possible.
Yes.
And if healthcare is cheaper, people would go to the doctor more often.
Yep.
Yada, 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 yada. And we would figure it out. If our food didn't always make us feel bloated and sick regardless, like, there's a million reasons. You know, it's complicated, but also it's not. It's one of those, like, everything nowadays is, it's so fucking complicated, but also it's not. It is complicated.
It but is it's because not. Of material issues, yeah. Like, not because it has to be inherently.
Right.
So, Raper finds Lily's Hattie alone after he's, like, Oops. Made her, like, cover her ears and weep.
Yeah, crying into her like, airplane Salisbury state.
And eventually, like, towards the end of the fight, he's like, you really should go visit Chicago. And I was like, probably not, bitch.
That won't be happening.
Don't think I'm going to be doing that.
I do like when Amanda picks them up and is like, you're just driving anywhere? She's like, well, I'm going to Denver, so if you're going that way. And it's like, Hattie still got it.
She does. She's Hattie's funny and yeah. good. Oh, and
I will say that Rayford's brain, when he was setting up his diatribe, was like, I have to be careful. I can't bullshit her because Hattie is a very smart woman.
I did appreciate that. Like, okay, so you're admitting that she's smart. And yet you talk about her like she's the dumbest person on the planet.
Well, yeah, he's literally said this.
She's a girl.
She's smart for a gal.
For a girl. So, yeah, so Amanda meets them, and like immediately, Rayford and Amanda are like all over each other in a way that I'm like, bro, calm down. You're like middle aged. Like, stop.
Stop. I don't care that World War III is happening.
Gross. You guys like, are not insane. In front of freaking Hattie. Like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, kind of rude, in my opinion. And like, there's a part, the book says, Rayford and Amanda walked hand in hand, then arm in arm, then arms around each other's waist, all the way to the escalators and led down to the baggage, claim. I'm like, ugh, stop. Have some decorum.
Yeah, you're not a very big public PDA person.
No. Though. Gross. I don't want to see that. It's mostly also because I'm just pissed at Rayford, so I'm like, you don't deserve anything good, yeah. like having your wife give you affection.
When Amanda did kiss Ray, she did afterwards turn to Hattie. He's like, sorry, I was just a little more excited to see him. And I thought that was funny.
It was, but also, like, then she's turning to Hattie, who's, like, got mascara, like, running down her face. Come on, bro.
Well,
like,
Amanda's a business bitch. She's handsome. She probably just thinks that this little trollop is on about something. Like, maybe they didn't have her damn magazine.
She's crying about a perfume that ran out.
Exactly.
Or whatever. But as they're walking to baggage claim, Amanda, I guess they're not going to baggage claim because why would he have his stuff would be on the plane? Anyway, regardless, it doesn't matter. So as they're walking through the airport, Amanda gets distracted by a news story on one of the TVs and she, like, gets Rayford to stop, and this part also made me scream, because, yeah. like, we go from abortion to talk about healthcare stuff, Jesus. And I was like, So, let me first read, this is a newscaster saying this. Global community potentate Nikolai Carpathia has announced formation of an international healthcare organization that will take precedence over all local and regional efforts.
Uh-oh.
What's going on here? This is like universal healthcare.
Sounds like a socialism.
This is like socialism.
Oh, fuck.
Tim, can you read this visionary plan to us?
Sure. Potentate Carpathia's visionary plan is not only our only hope for survival in the midst of coming famine and plagues, but it also seems to me, at first glance, a blueprint for the most aggressive international healthcare agenda ever. Should the death toll reach as high as 25%?
25%! Remember that!
My book said 20.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really
Really?
Good. Wait, that's hold on.
Because mine said 25% or more. Of something to that extent, because I noticed it, because I thought it was their way
interesting. To kind of be like, wink,
wink. Anyways, I'll keep reading. Should the death toll reach as high as 25% due to contaminated water and air, food shortages, and the like, as some have predicted, new directives that govern life from the womb to the tomb can bring this planet back from the brink of death to utopian state in regards to physical health.
Okay, so my book, there it says 25%, but earlier it said 20%.
Gotcha.
So I think it's like, it could be more, like up to 25%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there's like two sections of it with the broadcasters talking about it, and then they bring on like some doctor to talk about it.
So, yeah, this pinged my, like, looking for conspiracy theories, because you know the right wing hate universal healthcare and taking care of people.
And I think it's absolutely put here for a reason, because when they're talking about all this shit, right, of like, oh, well, we need to help people. They just can't help themselves by being, like, new directives to govern life from the womb to the tomb.
I actually just literally searched womb to the tomb, but because Google's really bad now, I don't really know. Like, I was like, that feels like that was, like, a thing.
Right.
That someone said at some point. I also want to point, I didn't include this in the quote, but they do call out the Red Cross and the World Health Organization specifically, but like in a way that's like, well, they can't take care of things anymore. And I'm like, but like right wingers like already don't trust those organizations anyway. Yeah. Like they currently, like they think the WHO and like the UN, like anything like that is like evil and the devil. So I got real excited at first. I was like, oh, are they going to be talking about the WHO in like an evil way? Which again, like is so interesting.
We'll put you in a FEMA camp in order to make sure.
I was like literally waiting for something like that. I mean, that probably will fucking happen at some point in these books. But like, especially, you know, being in a world after COVID existed, like the way that right wingers have like responded to like healthcare efforts, like it's just interesting.
It's also weird that like I don't think we think of war as spreading plague, and diseases.
Yeah,
war, plague, and diseases happen around the battles and things like that nowadays. And I'm sure there's like a fuck ton of fucked up downchain things that we just as Americans forget about, right?
Right, like the water's messed up, but and it's like spreading disease or
whatever. Yeah, like especially, you know, wars Middle East where it's like, okay, we run through, we blew up all their wells. Okay, whatever. But now it's like we're on such a scale here that, you know, it's countries that have infrastructure. That are being nuked and things of that nature. So so many people have to die that it's kind of baffling how they're going to justify how the fuck do we figure this out? And is this the part where they say how many people have already died?
I don't remember.
Maybe that's the 20% I'm thinking of, but
yeah,
it's 1.2 billion people died in World War III. Which, well, actually, I don't know that for sure because I don't know how many people were raptured, so I don't technically know.
Right.
If the Earth in 1997 or whatever, had 6 billion people, you know, plus or minus all the Christians. So just, you know, because 6 billion was a number. Yeah. Now it's like 8 or something like that. I don't know. I didn't Google it. But I just chose 6 billion. And so that's like 1.2 billion.
Right,
right. And like, how do you kill 1.2 fucking billion people? You guys killed a lot of fucking people.
And they're going to be killing a lot more. They're just going to keep getting that percentage every time. Yep. It's going to get smaller, smaller, smaller.
At least it's a percentage of a percentage. Right?
Yeah. But she's about to get bad, for sure, is what they realize from listening to this. And the chapter ends with Rafer meeting up with the rest of the Tribulation Force crew, and Buck is introducing Zion Ben-Judah to them.
I think part of the reason why I was conflating the 25% due to contaminated water and stuff and the 20% before is because I believe these are two separate instances of killing 25% of the population. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I mean, shit, I believe it.
I always forget, like, what they include with each other and what they don't.
Well, we'll get into it a little bit and...
And what?
I'm waiting for you.
For what? Chapter 15.
He's baiting me. He's baiting me. He wants me to get scared.
I'm gaslighting you.
Your favorite activity. Pretty easy to do.
You're telling me people don't like it when their family members get exploded? I don't get it.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I just think logically, if you think about it, being underground is not that scary.
They even address the whole like Zion Ben Judah's family dying and grieving as Christians thing in here. Checkmate, atheist.
Well, I'm an atheist, so I believe what I believe. So now that Rafer and the crew are back together, they are going over Bruce's notes, and they're helping Rafer because Rafer is going to be the one that's actually speaking at Bruce's memorial the next morning.
Yeah, because Buck can't.
Yeah, Buck is too high profile, and like the fact that he's even there, going there at all is probably not a good
idea.
This is insane.
And I'm hoping – well, okay, here's what it probably is, right? Smartphones did not exist. Cell phones with cameras barely existed.
At the
time and place that this happened. Cause fucking Zion's going to the fucking memorial.
But
disguised
like,
as Loretta's kid or son,
nephew, something. But like honestly, like why would anyone in their little church know what he looked like? You know what I mean? So I actually am like, that's probably make this fine and fair.
I thought his face was on the news.
But like, probably like the Israeli news. Like,
I don't know. Actually.
Oh my God. I hope that came through on the recording.
That scared me.
That was so scary. Guys, God is
Lord.
The Lord already spent.
I think we gotta.
Okay, let's just get down on our hands.
We better act right. We're gonna be struck dead.
To all the dead babies that were killed, I'm sorry we said it was good.
I saw the lightning happen and then the thunder scared me so bad.
Oh, I didn't see the lightning.
That was really funny.
It's crazy.
I'm a Christian again!
I'm in a fox. Oh, there it is. I'm in a foxhole. What were we saying?
I disagree.
Oh, Zion, yeah.
Maybe it's because, like, God's like, you disagree with a woman?
That's right!
I think this would have been such a big deal for these Christians seeing Ben-Judah give his testimony about Jesus Christ being the damn Lord and Messiah. Sorry, another lightning.
Guys! We're gonna be struck down.
Yeah, if we can just change the tone of the rest of the podcast.
Wasn't that a thing that happened in the New Testament? Someone got struck by lightning and they died? Was it Ananias and Sapphira or whatever? I
probably. Didn't Cain get struck in the face? And that's how he got the mark to let him know that this guy be killing brothers.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember. I don't remember things anymore. Yeah. Everything that I used to know about the Bible is now me remembering things about wrestlers. Mm-hmm. So it's gone. It's been pushed out of my brain.
Anyways, I need to stop talking about the church would recognize Zion.
Yeah, apparently. God is fucking pissed at you.
I have to pick someone up from the airport. I'm scared.
Yeah. Good luck. So, yeah. So Buck is like, okay, it's okay that Zion's gonna go, but we need to be really careful because, like, it is very possible already that Carpathia / the global community people know that Buck was involved in getting him out of, you know, out of Israel. So, yeah, so the plan is that they're going to sneak him into the shelter, I guess, after Bruce's memorial service tomorrow. They're going to, like, bring him to the church and get him down there.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it makes sense. And then Rayford's like, all right, guys, time to convene the Tribulation Force to vote in Zion. Like, so that's the thing. Like, Buck had been talking about him like he's already in it. And, like, Rayford's like, well, we got all the vote.
We got Robert's Rules of War.
Exactly, literally. And I did think there was a funny little, like, where it was like, I was the most senior member. And Amanda's like, sweetie, I think I'm the oldest one here.
And he's like, funny.
Well, I'm the oldest Christian here.
Yeah, that would have, if I wasn't already blood red angry at Ray, I would have laughed more.
Yeah.
Because the joke is like,
it's pretty good.
He's like, yeah, well, I was a Christian for 2 weeks longer than you.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And that's funny.
It's like, fair enough. All right. So, yeah, so they give a vote. Obviously, they're like, yes, we would like Zion to be a part of our group. And they bring Zion in and ask him, like, hey, like, are you willing to be our new leader pastor guy? Yeah. You know?
Because Chloe even mentions, like, you might not even want to live here. And then Buck's like, where else are you going to fucking go?
Like, are you willing to be trapped in our bunker? Are you willing to be our prisoner pastor?
We got a hole. It's a nice hole.
It's a pretty nice hole, but there is no light. We're going to have to bring you groceries and
it's
stuff.
It's real nice.
Yeah. And he is like, hell yeah, baby. I'll be your pastor. I'll dedicate the rest of my life to this shit.
Love Zion. He's great.
He wants to share the freaking gospel.
So the Tribulation Forest was down one member. Now it's back up.
Yep.
So
back to five, baby.
Back to five, the Lord's number.
So the next morning, the crew starts heading over to the church for the memorial service. And, yeah, as we said, Zion is going to pretend to be a guest of Loretta. Mm-hmm. They're going to, like, kind of sneak in, like, later because Loretta has a reserved parking spot, which is good because there's, like, a bajillion people trying to come to this memorial service.
Yeah.
They're, like, parked down the street. The parking lot's full. Mm-hmm. People are, like, in they're in the sanctuary early.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, we'll get there early enough. Nope. People are already all the way down the road.
And Rayford's in the back in, like, I guess, like, pastor's office zone, whatever, with the funeral director and the coffin with Bruce in it. And he's getting ready, and Rayford's like, kind of disgusting. You pop that thing open and let me see him one more
take
time.
A quick look.
And I thought this was kind of, like, I didn't mind this section, like, of, like, Rayford, like, getting a good look at him, and he's like, yep, that's a husk. There's no guy there. I feel like okay now. Like, I can move forward with this and, like, do my little speech without, like, breaking down because I understand that this is not him. He's in heaven. This is just his husk.
Yeah. It's going to rattle me a little bit, but we can you know, get through it.
Yeah. And then Riper says that he felt like he's floating in another dimension. I was like, was this a mental defense mechanism? Was God allowing him to set aside his grief and his emotions so he could speak clearly?
Maybe.
I mean, like, probably. Because, like, because then they, like, at one point they cut the book, and Buck's like, man, I don't know what Riper's doing this. I'd be blubbering.
Yeah, yeah, good on Ray. Good on Ray.
Yeah, so Riper goes out exactly at 10 a.m., and Buck comments, like, just like a pilot would do. That was really funny.
It's been so long.
Are planes not, like, famously, like, delayed and shit all the time?
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
He should have been a train driver.
Yeah, to be in Germany where they're actually on time. Mm-hmm. So first Rayford like starts it off like basically being like, you guys know how close I was to Bruce, but this is not about me, and actually it's not about Bruce either. It's all about Jesus.
Hell yeah.
So Rayford immediately like gets into the salvation pitch, which is like such a thing at mm-hmm. Christian funerals, mm-hmm. I feel like. I don't know how many funerals you've been to, Tim, in your life.
None like this. Yeah.
I've been to quite a few.
Oh, like, yeah, because everything that your church did, everyone just fucking went to.
Everyone just went to, like, literally something like, yeah, I went to hella funerals, baby showers, people's weddings, like, all that shit. Yeah. I was there. So, yeah, the evangelicals love to give a hard pitch
yeah.
for getting saved at a funeral. You like, see what this better dead time? Guy?
That could be you.
That could be you. You better get saved or you're going to burn in hell forever. And they really get into that shit here. Because, like, again, it's just, like, really hammering home that this form of evangelical Christianity is like, hey, you're a nasty little worm mm-hmm. and you deserve to be tortured forever. But yeah. Luckily, God wanted to save you.
Yeah, God killed his kid and now I know it sounds like because Jesus died, you should be good. No.
No.
Not the case.
There's one more step in there. It's not works. It's not works
yeah.
to think a thing. But thinking also, things is a sin.
You do have to think it and say it and believe it.
Right.
Don't get us wrong in that.
Don't get it twisted. I just love, like, he says, in the economy of God, we are all worthy only of the punishment of death.
Shut up.
Like, again, it's like, no wonder our brains work the way they do. Because right. It's like, the thing that's hammered into you from the time you're, like, a tiny child is, like, you are worse than nothing. Like, the only worth that you have
yeah.
is because of God.
I'm going to turn into Gore the God Killer up in this
like,
bitch.
It makes me so mad.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Have some self-respect.
Like, really. Like, well, that's how it works. Like, they make, you know, it's got to keep you down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And next, he does give some time for people, like, all right, everyone who was really touched by Bruce, if you want to speak, like, now's the time. And a bunch of people do it, and everything's going so long that Rayford's like, all right, we got time for one more person.
Yeah.
Guess who freaking stands up?
Oh, God.
Zion Ben-Judah!
Why?
I'm like, I thought you were trying to keep things quiet.
You're gonna get murdered.
You fool.
Idiot.
But I feel like he had a pretty good cover, though, as far as the people. It was like, yeah, I've worked with Bruce. They know Bruce has been, like, flying all over the world and shit. So she's like, oh, this is, like, a guy.
This is a slightly browner guy. Cool.
Can I say, I'm really curious if he had his, like, yarmulke on.
Yeah, if he, like, I don't know. It's like, here, wear this other hat.
Well, because you're not supposed to wear a hat in church if you're a guy.
I hadn't thought of that. And what would your church do if a Jewish person came in? First of all, they're like, get out.
I think they'd be like, what are you? I'm sure there are Jews in North Carolina, but they were not where I lived. I did not. I literally did not know a Jewish person what I wanted until I went to grad school in Boston. Because in North Carolina, where I lived, was just so like aggressively evangelical Christian. Mm-hmm. It was like more like, I know some Methodists. I might know some Pentecostals and some Lutherans. Like, Catholics? There are like a few, but that's weird. Like, Catholics were weird. So I'm just saying, I didn't have a lot of experience with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what would have happened.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So, I don't know. Just curious about it. Because regardless, like, I think it kind of made sense.
The book does not make it seem like this is a bad thing.
Right. Like, I don't think anyone was, like, getting out their car phone to, like, dial 911.
Yeah, they weren't
cranking it. Dial 911 Carpathia and be like, there's a fugitive here. Mm-hmm. So he does speak, and then Raver's like, all right, I'm gonna actually give everyone a chance if you want to leave, because it's been going really long. And nobody leaves.
Good.
Does no one need to pee? Nothing?
Well, he got his juice, and I am hoping that people are going to piss. But it's like when we watch Dune. This is their Dune.
That's true. They're like, no, man, I'm locked in.
I think one of the fun things throughout this section is I'm pretty sure, I can't remember for a fact, but I'm pretty sure this is where one of the parts where the Left Behind kids books and these books intersect.
Oh, someone's at this.
I'm pretty sure.
This service?
Yeah.
So after they get through this part, Raver's like, all right, now it's time for, like, the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
He actually takes two breaks because there's a break at this point. The orange juice actually comes in the middle of the sermon, weirdly.
Okay.
But he does give a break between the memorial part and the sermon part. So Raver's trying, because they found Bruce's notes for his sermons. They knew, like, okay, we've got the notes for what he was going to present.
Right. Okay, that's right.
Next.
Yeah, because this is the part where he's like, okay, the memorial's done. He sits down and no one leaves. He's like, well,
I'll get right back up and keep talking. So now we get into the nitty gritty of what the hell's happening.
Yeah, now I'm not falling asleep anymore.
Tribulation timelines. So Bruce was convinced that they're at the end of an 18-month period of peace that began at the signing of the treaty between Carpathia and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he clarifies here, it's like, that's when the tribulation started, not at the rapture. There was like a in-between period.
Right.
When the treaty was signed, that's when things start. And there's supposed to be an 18-month period of peace, and they are nearing the end of that, and shit is about to get crazy.
Per Bruce's perspective.
He's like, this is what I think is going on. So, what's gonna happen next? Guys, you know it's time for those damn horses of the apocalypse.
Woo-hoo! We love them.
Because we already had the first one, which was the Antichrist.
Yeah.
So now the next horse is the Red Horse of the Apocalypse, aka World War III, and shit is about to pop off.
Yeah, and Rayford's just been like, hey man, he died in this, but yet he's saying it's like right around the corner. Isn't that crazy?
Don't you believe this?
But if you don't believe Bruce, who was right as hell, and you're here, and he's dead right there, consider who wrote the Bible.
That's God.
That's God, and they predicted it, so checkmate.
Yeah, extremely that. I mean, they love to treat prophecy, quote unquote, in this way.
Yeah, but again, we're in the rapture, so technically.
But okay, like, yeah, you've got kind of a this world where the rapture has happened and where the literal Antichrist with powers exists.
Yeah.
But Raper, again, reading from Bruce's notes, he's delivering to everyone, like, okay, first there's going to be the red horse, and then, like, immediately the black horse and the pale horse are going to come.
Yeah, and he stressed that a lot. It's like, okay, there's a long time, and then war, and then there's a little bit of time, and then boom, boom, next two horses.
The black horse is plague and famine, as we discussed, and the pale horse is death. Now, I would say that feels like an overlap.
Come on.
Jennifer,
we've been over this. Some of the bowls and the trumpets and the shit like that, all they are is just opening up the door to the next ones. I'm like,
there's another really bullshit one that I'm going to call out here in a second, because he also explains that these four horses are actually also sealed judgments.
Yep.
Each horse is one of, there are four sealed judgments. And in these four horses, Bruce is like, that's where he's like, 1/4 of the world's population is going to be wiped out by these bad, bad horses.
So all four of them are going to take out 25%. Got it.
Yes. That makes sense. Those things, the plague and the famine the war is going to cause 25% of the population die.
That makes a lot more sense.
But those are only the first four of the seven seals. There's three other ones, guys. Mm-hmm. Seal five. This is one I think is bullshit.
Come on now.
Because it's a tribulation martyr. It's like, but that you've, okay, number one, you already said this because the pale horse is death. So you're saying death again. Like, and literally Rafer's like, I envision Bruce under, because they talk about like the tribulation martyrs being under the altar of God. He says, I envision Bruce under the altar with the souls of those slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. He will be given a white robe and told to rest a while longer until even more martyrs are added to the total. So it's like, but that's like already been happening.
But also it hasn't, because no one has died for their beliefs yet.
But he's counting Bruce's one, and he didn't die for his belief. He just died because he got sick.
Really just Zion's wife and kid. And I'm sure there's been
Michael, the guy in the buddies, right? Michael did
some crime. He did a crime. And you know what? Maybe, I'm sure some of the 144,000 legally have been murdered for their faith. But I don't think anyone else did from what they're saying. And
I just think, whatever. I just think it's very interesting when you're trying to like prove like, you know, these are the prophecies and things that happen that like you're not even like clear in it. It's like
these first
like,
ones
overlapping.
Are very, you're right. Cause the other horses overlap as hell. That one of the horses is just the guy, which is kind of weird. But hey, it is what it is. But this one is weird, right? It's like exactly how Jennifer says, there's already a death one right before this one. You don't get a second one. But if it's also
you just copy and pasted it
allegorical or something, I don't know.
I guess it's just or maybe it's just like a different focus.
He
like
was just
I don't
on Patmos on fucking shrooms.
He was like, oh, he was fucking tripping balls out there. Mm-hmm. Tim and I have been to Patmos. I don't know if we talked about that on this podcast before, but there was a church inside of it, and there was a part that was like, no women can go here, and I wanted to step my foot in it so bad. And Tim's like, don't. You're going to cause an international incident by putting your toe in the part of the church where women are not allowed to be.
And then I went in there and did the Dougie and stuff. The Dougie didn't exist.
Yeah, that was a long before.
I don't even know what I probably would have done the Macarena.
Do the I don't know. Fucking cha cha slide.
I hate the cha cha slide.
So, all right, moving on to these boring ass seals. Hate these guys. We're moving on to seal six, and this one is like this one's making up for it. I'm going to say,
and I think it's kind of funny because he's like, all right, seal five and seven are kind of the same, but now six is a doozy.
Six is fucked up because it really is just like. Okay, everything bad happens now in Seal 6. And this is The Wrath of the Lamb, which does sound very sick. And it must be like 17 different metal bands called Wrath of the Lamb.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Yeah, and basically that means there's going to be a big-ass earthquake and like so much other bad stuff happening.
So, you know, maybe the martyr one is just like a seal is done in heaven, because I think there's a few of them that aren't on the earth.
Yeah.
And
they just like shine a flashlight underneath the throne, and it's like, look at all these guys under here. They're in their fancy robes.
I almost kind of think what they're saying is like, you're not going to super heaven yet. You're hanging out here.
Which is weird.
Very weird.
And that is a very much a thing that comes up when you get into this like rapture like talk. It's like, wait a second. Are there like different areas where people are?
Right. Because they're really like, you just went through such a bad time of history. You get to like rest, which I have no idea what that even means in their context.
Like a spa?
Which is why it's so.
They got robes on.
Yeah, exactly.
And they got little cucumber slices on their eyes.
That's nice. That's not nice. That's why it's like so refreshing to get to like, thank Christ, it's a huge fucking earthquake.
Right. Like finally something happened. And Buck has this, because Buck is listening to, like, we're kind of going a little bit back and forth. Mm-hmm. Actually, most of this section is Buck listening to Rayford talking, and he has a thought here, like, man, I've got to bring up this whole Wrath of the Lamb thing somehow in some of my writing. I'm like, bro, Carpathia is about to know that you helped Zion ben Judah escape from Israel. How are you going to do that?
Yeah, he kind of made it seem like, what do you say, it's a swan song.
Yeah, he
like,
did call it a swan song, to be fair.
This is like how he's going to quit is by being like, there's going to be a big, bad earthquake that is metal as hell. And what's the like phrase where like the kings and queens of the earth are going to hide in caves.
Right.
And,
yeah. They're going to, yeah.
And shout for the Lord.
Holes in the ground or whatever.
Shit like that.
It is a pretty.
It'll be completely dark.
Six section.
Moon is going to go blood red. It's going to be pretty epic.
I thought I actually had a part in here where I was like going to read. Oh,
is it?
Oh, it's this part. No, I haven't. I actually do want to read this because it's just pretty badass, honestly.
Yeah,
because
your note is just read the fucking book.
Yeah. So this is Rayford giving his little sermon, and he's reading, like, scripture also. I looked when he, and you'll recall that the he mentioned here is the Lamb, who's described in verse 14 of the previous chapter as him who lives forever and ever, who is, of course, Jesus Christ himself. He opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? you do gotta give it up that, like, reading Revelation sounds badass.
Hell yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, like, as a text that exists, I think Revelation is really interesting, mm-hmm. actually. It just pisses me off when they're like, and this means this is gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, yeah. It's a fucking cool apocalyptic book. Stop.
I'm excited to see again, I guess, how they handle the specificity of the, like, everyone going in a cave and be like, hide me, hide me, hide me. Like,
because we know, as we've alluded to, there's definitely going to be some surprises in how certain things are come to pass. As far as, like, big bugs are coming after us, like, those are helicopters, mm-hmm. or, like, whatever, bullshit, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what this actually looks like in the Left Behind bits. I don't remember.
It's going to be bad. A lot of people are going to die.
Yep. And then, honestly, do got to give it up for the seventh seal.
Do got to give it up for the seventh seal. You know how we talk about some of the ones that are confusing or bad, the ones that are explicit or good? Now there's a new category.
Yeah, confusing and good.
And confusing and good.
Because basically the idea that the Bible, Revelation does not explain at all what is going to happen. It's just that this seal is so crazy when they open it up in heaven, that there's silence in heaven for half an hour. Everyone's just like jaw dropped, like, bro.
Oh, you just did what?
Yeah. So we don't even know what this is going to be.
And I don't remember what it is.
I don't either.
I'm upset.
I don't fucking remember.
I'm happy that I don't remember, but I'm like, I mean, I remember, like, I think looking up if earthquakes cause, like, meteor strikes or something like that. It was like, oh, well, maybe the earth shakes so hard that the ozone layer gets all wonky.
See, I was thinking, what if the earth shakes so hard there's a damn tsunami or something? But sure, like, maybe. I mean, that feels like equal to a big earthquake. So it just feels like it's gotta be something like extra crazy. And we know that, like, eventually later they're talking about, like, there's like wormwood. Yeah, like fucking comets falling down with poison and shit.
Yeah.
So I don't remember what they're going to, and like, cause I think if you went to like a church that taught this, they would just be like, we don't know what this is going to be.
Yeah.
But because this is a book that's talking about the hypothetical, they got to come up with something
what
this is going to be.
So part of me thinks I think it might just be silence where, like, no one can hear anything. But I can't remember. And I also can't remember if that's a later one. Because there's some shit that just happens later that everyone's like, well,
yeah,
we can't see. No one can see.
I don't remember any of this. Shit like that. So, I'm guessing, man, like, again, there's not much left of this book, so we gotta get deep in these damn horses' necks.
Yeah, cause he's just constantly like, yo, there's 18 months and there's 21 months.
Yeah.
Right? And 21 months starts the next wave of shit. So that means anywhere from today to, 6 weeks from now, there's gonna be such a huge fucking earthquake that every single person on the planet is gonna freak out. And it's like, there's not one single mountain that will not be like everything that exists is gonna be shifted, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
you're changing the top. And I do feel like, honestly, like, I mean, obviously natural disasters are scary, but I feel like earthquakes are so scary.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's just like, you're just sitting there and it's like, you might just fall in a hole in the ground. So it's just gonna fall on top of you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess every natural disaster has its own scariness, but there's something about an earthquake. I don't know. It's very scary.
Absolutely.
So Rayford ends his talk by being like, now don't forget, you shouldn't be quite as sad as the non-Christians because you're gonna see Bruce and all your buddies again. And he's gotta reiterate, what Bruce would have wanted above all else is that we stay about the business of bringing every person we can into the kingdom before it is too late.
Yeah.
Classic evangelical Christian funeral. Again, got to get one more. You better get saved before you get roasted to a crisp for eternity. Mm-hmm. I would feel so bad if I didn't harangue you until you made what I perceive as the right choice.
Exactly. I'm going to make you cry on every airplane until end of time. And that's the end of that. And we have, like, two chapters?
Let me double check. Oh, the epilogue is very short, so we should definitely not count that as a thing.
Are you seeing the word earthquake?
I did see one teeny spoiler, and I tried to look away. Does it list the chapters? Sorry, I'm just trying to flip to see what the last... Oh.
17.
Oh, okay. So we'll do... So there'll be two more then.
Two more episodes.
We'll have two chapters and then a chapter in the epilogue to, like... And that makes sense, to, like, wrap up the book, you know.
No, because there'll be... Next one is 16, 17.
Oh, and then 18. Oh, you're right. Well, okay. I'm dumb. Ignore everything I said. The epilogue is really tiny, so that makes it. So there's two more episodes, and then we'll be done with this book. And then we'll get into Soul Harvest.
Yeah, we get in the fucking crazy magic shit.
Yep. And I have the books this time, so there shouldn't be a big gap between when we record the next book, because I got the next book and I'm probably gonna want to fucking read it.
Yeah.
Because now stuff's starting to happen, and yeah. I want to know. I want to know about whatever these damn Seal of Judgments are.
I might try the next one's audiobook style.
Yeah, you should.
We'll see. Well, thank you so much for listening. You know, it means the world to us. Just like Ray says, make sure, above all else, bring every person you can into the listenership of this podcast.
Yeah, tell your testimony to all your friends about how good Tribulation Farce is.
Please. Please. Will you die for the show?
Yeah, would you? Oh, my God. I didn't even bring that up. I forgot about that, actually. That at one point, Raver's like, we should all be ready to die. Are you ready to die? And they're like, rhetorical. And people are like, yes!
I think one of the kids from Left Behind is one of the people
that
says
so
yes.
Funny.
But
I would love to die. You get me.
You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Lanning. You can follow Jennifer on Twitter at Jennifer Cheek. You can follow the show at Trip Farce Pod or email us at TribulationFarce@gmail.com. Always love hearing your little anecdotes and interesting thoughts like that. We also have a Patreon that covers not just this podcast, but other fun things that Jennifer and I do.
Yeah.
Called Content Hole. Patreon.com/Content Hole. That most recently, as of recording this, there was a chat with me and a friend of mine, Vince, who's very smart, talking about the very good game Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a gamer, but I love Like a Dragon because it's just so fun to walk by and see Tim playing. And it's like, why are there so many adult men with baby diapers going on here?
Yep, that's a Yakuza staple. So
it's fun. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.